Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/starttalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/starttalk today.
Welcome to StarTalk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. StarTalk begins right now.
Chuck, I think it's about time we talked about heat waves.
Actually,
wasn't that a disco group in the 70s?
It was. Heat Wave was the name of a group. Yes, yes.
They did the soundtrack to, what's that movie? To Car Wash. I think their song is I Want to Get Next to You.
No, that's Rolls Royce.
Oh, Rolls Royce. Oh, damn.
Yes. Yes.
Damn. Damn, don't out 1970s me. How you do that?
Oh, believe it or not, my daughter listens to that music.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
So just thought we'd talk about heat waves. And I have, other than being familiar with the group that I didn't properly identify from the 70s, I have no expertise in this, but we are in New York City,
right. And
right up the block from the American Museum of Natural History is the Goddard Institute for Space Studies, one of 10 NASA centers scattered across the country. And we have the director of the Goddard Institute for Space Studies.
Head honcho?
The man about town himself.
Yeah.
Gavin Schmidt. Gavin, welcome back to Star Talk.
Hi, Neil. How are you? Yeah, nice to be back.
Excellent, excellent. And what many people don't know is what that NASA center specializes in. Mm. Just give me like the one sentence sort of specialty case for it.
Climate change, climate feedbacks, climate responses, climate observations, climate impacts. The whole kit
of all planets.
Mostly this planet, but also exoplanets.
Mostly.
And also the climate of Mars, the climate of Venus back, 3 billion years ago. We've been working on all of those things.
Well, I'm glad we made it on your list, Gavin.
that Earth is on the
yeah,
list.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that Earth is in the running there.
Yeah, well, people don't think that NASA really cares about the Earth, but actually, we spend more than $2 billion a year looking at the Earth and trying to understand what's going on. And so we actually are one of the lead agencies around the world trying to work out what is happening and why.
Oh, and by the way, and Gavin, you don't have to comment on this, but during one of my tours of duty in Washington, there were forces operating to prevent NASA from studying Earth. saying NASA should just worry about space. And I was on a commission to deal with this, and I said, you can't claim to understand Earth unless we know how it fits in the context of other planets mm-hmm. and in the space environment. And so I yeah. think I won that fight because Gavin still has a job. I'm thinking about yeah. with NASA.
That's, I mean, you were eloquent in your defense. However, it's a much simpler answer. I'm not sure if you know this, but Earth is in space.
Yes, Earth is in space, completely in space.
Yeah.
But that was an early push to remove the government from its efforts to aid and abet the data that was discovering climate change.
And who did it? Exxon!
On Earth. No, sorry.
Once
so, okay. let's get back to this.
Right.
So, Gavin, what is a heat wave? Just, I mean, I think we know. A heat wave, well, in New York City, a heat wave is some number of days where the high goes above 90, all right? We're on Fahrenheit yeah. world right. here. And, of course, I lived in Texas for a while. And
that's every day.
Yeah. That's every day, right? So a heat wave was like over something else. So heat wave seems to be very locally defined. And does that have any meaning to you as a climate professional?
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing. So a lot of why we care about heat waves is not because of the absolute temperature, but because of the difference from what we're prepared for, right? And actually that fits in with the whole, you know, why do we care about climate change, right? You know, it's the difference from what we expect. And so heat waves in Phoenix are going to be different from heat waves in New York, which are going to be different than heat waves in London or in Paris or in Moscow.
Right, because Phoenix has been astronomically determined to be 3/4 of a mile from the surface of the sun. Okay.
That makes sense.
Yes, that was science. Yes, yes.
That was yes. that science discovered that.
Yes. And so, you know, people in Phoenix are learning to become nocturnal, and we haven't quite reached that point at in New York. But, you know, it's we didn't used to have that many 90 plus days, and we're having more and more. And so when we have, you know, a whole big long string of these things, we can keep track of that. And, that's an indication, of extreme, of an extreme event associated with heat. At the, kind of mid-July, we had, some very dramatic, heat events in Europe, in the UK. And, you know, so the UK was still cooler than Spain, but Spain was really, really, really very hot. And the UK, you know, got up to about 105 degrees Fahrenheit, which was totally unprecedented for them.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a situation there where almost nobody has air conditioning. You know, there's no air conditioning in the subway. There's no air conditioning in most homes. And so, you know.
And of course, there they call the subway the tube. Yeah. Just to be clear,
they do.
Subway is the walkway under a street to get to the other side. Just to
yeah,
get.
Yeah, I was translating for you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, there I am translating back, and I shouldn't be.
By the way, yeah. neither one of those places have air conditionings, though.
No, that was the point.
That was the point. Yeah.
Allow me to remind you, people, if they don't already know, that the British Isles sits farther north than the northernmost point of Maine. Mm-hmm. So wow. if you're raking in 105 degree Fahrenheit temperatures, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear how nobody's prepared for that. So like you said, it's a difference between what you're used to and what nature hands you, and that could wreak havoc on your culture, yeah. on your even civilization.
Well, I mean,
on your
infrastructure. I mean, they had situations where they had to stop flights out of some airports because the runway was melting. They couldn't run the trains because the rails were buckling. You know, like when you exceed the design specifications for anything you build, you get into trouble.
So they're laying down the track, say, we should do this to 110 degrees. Why? How's that going to happen? Why? Yeah.
That's never happened before. That. Why would it happen again? Right?
Yeah.
You know, so that this is the issue. You know, we're seeing more of these heat waves. They're becoming more intense. And that's because of climate change. You know, we have warmed up the planet by about 2 degrees Fahrenheit in the last century or so. But that is juicing these extremes. And so the number of times you're exceeding 90 degrees Fahrenheit, 100 degrees Fahrenheit is going up, not just like a little bit, but it's going up 4, 5, 7 times, 10 times more than it was before.
And in addition to that, what's also seemed to be happening, and I don't know if there's a science behind this, Gavin, but these weather systems seem to sit. They don't, you know, like, so we used to see some extreme heat events, but they would pass over. Now they seem to park and stay. Like, oh, you know what? I'm a chill. This is nice. I like this here. And they don't go anywhere. So is there a science behind that? Is that anecdotal?
But Chuck, plus we have to change the word. If they're 105 degree hotspot, they can't say I'm chilling here. You need to have a word for that. Yeah. So Gavin, what's up with that?
Right. So what's associated with these extreme heat is a wave event in the atmosphere, in the jet stream. And you can see this on the weather maps, right? You know, you can see this wave kind of coming across, you know, each lobe of the wave is a couple of thousand miles across, and there are some patterns that happen, particularly when you have five of these waves going around the world, and it turns out that's a pattern that it kind of resonates a little bit, and so it wants to move this way. The jet stream is pushing it this way, and so the wave looks like it becomes a standing wave, right? So you've got it wants to go this way, but the jet stream is pushing it this way. And so it kind of like...
Wait, for people who listen only in audio, you use the word this going to your left and to your right. So could you choose a different word as you're doing the disco wave with your arms? Okay.
Yes. I totally can. So okay. Imagine a wavy, sinuous-like thing moving from kind of Europe towards the U.S. Meanwhile, the jet stream is pushing the other way, and so when the wave and the stream intersect, you can get some times when they don't appear to move very much. It's like you have a standing wave that can just keep things in place for longer than you might imagine. And some people call this a blocking pattern. And we've been looking at these kinds of events for many, many decades. And there's some indication that they may be kind of changing a little bit with climate change. But I would say that's very much at the cutting edge of what we understand and what we don't understand.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Okay, so Gavin, you got London here, and I know a lot of people live in London, and it is Europe and everything, but, you know, Africa is five times the size of Europe. So a few cities in Europe get a high temperature. Earth is way bigger than Europe. Why does anyone give a rat's ass about, no, I mean, I don't mean to make light of it, but what I want to say is, why make global proclamations about what's happening in a couple of places in Europe just because they're complaining louder?
Because the queen is there, and she's very fragile when it comes to high heat.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck.
I'm sure. I think she probably has air conditioning.
And if not, there are people waving
large fern leaves at her. Big palm fronds.
Palm leaves are waved at her, yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I can speak to that. But you raise a good point. You know, why do we pay attention to some events and not others? Well, one of the reasons is that in the mid-latitudes, so kind of, you know, yeah, that north of the Mediterranean, north of the Mexican border, we see a lot more summer variability, right? We see a lot more of these waves coming by that can move you into colder or warmer conditions. And in the tropics, you don't get that so much. Tropical climate is much more stable. You know, the temperatures don't vary that much. You get a wet and a dry season, which makes a difference depending on what side of the equator you're on. But the temperatures during the summertime, not that that really makes that much difference, are pretty stable. And so you don't get these kinds of extreme events happening. You see them, you know, in India. We've seen some tremendous heat waves in India and Pakistan and the rest of South Asia and in China as well. And in Australia, like going the other way in South Africa.
And the heat waves feed these fires that we've all been hearing about?
Right. So heat leads to a lot of different things, right? So you, first of all, you dry out, right? So your soil moisture evaporates, right? So everything gets drier. As things get drier, they become more flammable. And so we see situations where, you know, grass that would normally never burn suddenly is flammable. And we're seeing lots of cases where, you know, seemingly, you know, inadvertent sparks or accidents are now, instead of just like dying out and being put out, are leading to large configurations. And so, you know, London, for instance, had after the day after the maximum heat, had its biggest fire day since the Second World War. And those are obviously two different causes.
Yes, I would hope so. Yes,
You know, they had large scale fires, like taking out, you know, city blocks that people had just never seen before.
So, try to help me out here, because I'm sure people are thinking this. You're telling me we've increased 2 degrees in the last century or so, mm-hmm. basically the era of the modern industrial revolution, and yet London is not 2 degrees warmer than its average. It's way higher than its average. How does 2 degrees warmer on Earth translate into 10, 20, 30 degrees higher than average temperatures anywhere on Earth?
Okay, so let's break that down a little bit. So the 2 degrees that people talk about that I just mentioned is the global average change, right? But you have to remember that the globe is not warming evenly. It's warming more on land than in the ocean. It's warming more in the north than in the south. And it's warming most of all in places like the Arctic. So the changes in New York or in London or in Paris are more than the 2 degrees Fahrenheit that we're talking about in the global mean. So they're about, you know, maybe 1.5, 2 times that. So maybe 4 degrees Fahrenheit, 5 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, so maybe you should change the messaging. It's not what the average over the whole world is. Because if it's a huge range in the manifestation, if that average is an average over a wide range of data, a wide range of values, then why not give the average increase at this latitude? We're at the same latitude as Madrid or right through, we're New York City. Yeah. There and what the change is at Maine and in the Arctic? Why not give those numbers?
We do, right? So the Arctic is
no, you don't. I've not heard you to give that. Okay.
I'm gonna give it to you here. So the average change in the Arctic is about 4 times the global mean.
Mm-hmm. No, it did now. How did Chuck?
So now
Chuck,
listen,
who,
here's
Chuck.
The problem.
Have you heard anybody say that, Chuck?
No,
Chuck.
I'm gonna tell you. Here's the problem, Gavin. So as a scientist, when you look at incremental change, you're able to understand that. People are not. If you tell me it's 2 degrees warmer in this room than it is in the other room, that means nothing to me.
You don't give a rat's ass.
I don't care. What you need
you're not adjusting the thermostat for
right,
that.
I'm not. What you guys need is a scale that registers in the human psyche. So in one part of the world, it's, oh my God, hot. Okay? And if we keep going, it gets to God damn, right?
Okay, well, let me
bring out this scale that I prepared earlier.
He's trying to stop you there, Chuck, because there's no
yeah,
coming back from that.
You know where it's going. You know where it's going from there.
All right. Gavin.
So you're absolutely right. You know, we're talking about numbers that really don't mean very much to people in their everyday lives. And so, quite frankly, I don't like talking about these numbers. I don't like talking about 2 degrees, 1.5 degrees, 4 degrees. They are very hard to conceptualize because people's experience of temperature in their local environments during a day, over a season, is very different to the planet's experience of temperature. And so one of the things that I like to bring up is what kind of temperatures has the planet seen over its history? And one great example is about 20,000 years ago, we were in the middle of the Ice Age. And you know where you guys are sitting now was underneath hundreds of meters of ice. The glaciers extended from the Arctic Ocean to Prospect Park in Brooklyn. They covered almost all of North America. There's something similar happening in the UK. There was enough.
And by the way, Gavin, as a kid, I remember we took a tour of Central Park right in the middle of Manhattan.
That's
right. And there were rock escarpments that were identified as having glacial scarring.
Striations.
Yeah, striations, right. Yes. And I'm a kid, right? I'm like, glacier? What's a glacier doing here? What? Glacier?
It was there.
Yeah, no, I remember the mental adjustments I had to make to embrace what was going on.
Right.
But go on.
So the Ice Age was a radically different climate, right? So, you know, where we have forests and trees, and it was ice. And then for hundreds of miles further south, it was tundra. The fauna is different. The ecosphere is different. And do you know what the global temperature change was?
Between then and now?
Between then and pre-industrial.
Right, pre-industrial.
Okay, how much?
It was about 8 or 9 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Right?
All
so
right. That's helpful. I can use that.
Yeah. So what I like to do is let's call that an ice age unit, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's a big change for the planet.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And if you go from where we were to the ice age, that's one ice age unit. And now what we've done since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution is we've gone up about a quarter to a fifth of an ice age unit. And
okay,
where we might be heading could be a whole ice age unit in the other direction.
Right.
And so we think, oh, these are small numbers, but they're not small to the planet.
To the Earth.
The planet notices these things. The planet feels these changes in the ecosystems, in the ice, in the temperature, and in the extremes.
Okay,
and
Gavin, this is very helpful.
That's where we come back to what's happening now.
Okay.
We're seeing the impacts of these things in the extremes because if you can imagine, a bell curve, right? And we're moving the middle of that bell curve a little bit to the warmer conditions by, a couple of degrees. But the things that are changing the most are out at the ends, are out at the very warmest temperatures or at the very coldest temperatures.
So if you're in the middle of the bell curve, you don't notice it, but on the extremes, oh my gosh, it's the extreme.
And it's the extremes that make the impact, right?
Yes.
Nobody cares if a mediocre day is 2 degrees, 4 degrees, 5 degrees warmer than a previous mediocre day. But when you get to 100 degrees plus, every additional degree makes a difference. It makes a difference to how much the rails are going to buckle. It makes a difference to how much the airport is going to melt. It makes a difference to how much energy.
We can't land because the airport melted.
That's great. So, I know we got to wrap up, but I got to ask you this, Gavin, because the things that you're talking about are infrastructure, and that's a big deal because that costs people a lot of money, costs governments a lot of money and resources. But it still doesn't affect people's psyche because they look at it like, well, that's why I pay taxes and that's what the government is for. So what I want to know is, when does it get to a place where we exact a personal cost, like where your health is really in danger? Like there is a heat limit when you look at humidity versus temperature that human beings cannot exist.
There is. I mean, for places like the UK, we're quite a ways from that. Places like Dubai and India, we're a little bit closer. And in fact, we're going to see places kind of hitting those limits, mostly in the tropics, not in these kind of heat wave situations in the mid latitudes, mainly because the humidity is higher in the tropics. But we already feel the impact, the health impacts of heat. Every time there's an event like this in the UK, they're anticipating perhaps 1,000 excess deaths because of the 2-day heat wave. We see it when we have heat waves in the US. There's a big increase in mortality. Mostly elderly people.
Well, they lived a good life.
And
they're fine.
Or small children being trapped in cars.
Right.
I read a great article just yesterday. Believe it or not, people, heat-related events kill more people in the United States than any other weather event. You take all the other weather events, and heat is the one that does it.
Heat's the one. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so,
guys,
we got to land
this plane on our melting airport. So, Gavin, thanks for on short notice coming in to do this because we've just been seeing these reports of heat waves all around the world, and we wanted to get some climate change perspective on it, which you duly provided. So I know you're on holiday right now. Thanks for dialing into this. And it's always good to have you in arm's reach. We feel privileged that you're there for us. Chuck, I know you're a climate enthusiast.
Big time.
And fundraisers that you do.
Yep.
And you host. And it's great to know that you're walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. Keep looking up.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday Savings only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.